SMQBs, episode 207. Rooster House, how's it going, guys? Haven't seen you in a while.
How we doing?
Welcome back, Bison.
Welcome to the madness that is March.
I think it's been like one episode in 2 months for me, so somebody remind me how to do this.
We missed you. Don't screw it up.
I'll try not to.
The city of Washington still doesn't have a championship in the time that you've been gone.
I think that's accurate. But we're about to have the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL, so.
What is it, eight? Is it eight?
Eight to go. Eight to go. So, all right, guys. Who are we bringing to the bar this week?
Well, I wasn't going to do it. But once I found out how much extra money Bubba Cunningham has to pay for drinks at the bar.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So Bubba Cunningham, as our listeners probably know, as the whole world knows right now, is the chair of the selection committee for the NCAA College Men's Basketball Tournament. He also happens to be the athletic director of University of North Carolina, who somehow, despite a very, very poor resume, sneaked into the NCAA tournament. And now it has been revealed there's a difference in what the amount is of what his bonus is if UNC makes the college men's basketball tournament.
Ruh-roh.
Somewhere between $68,000 and $104,166 and 67 cents.
I just
would like you to buy me some extra drinks. That's all I'm saying, Bubba. Why don't you buy some drinks? Because I think you have a little cash in your pocket today.
He has a little splaining to do.
Oof. All right. That's interesting. Rooster?
Well, I'm going to go to the opposite end of the spectrum and take Kimi Antonelli, who Mercedes just did an amazing job plucking this teenager out to replace Lewis Hamilton when he left the Mercedes F1 Formula Racing team. And in his first race ever in a Formula One car on a rainy, wet track, Kimi Antonelli at age 18 placed fourth place. And to put that in perspective, the all-time wins leader in the history of F1 racing, Lewis Hamilton, was in his first Ferrari Formula One car. That was the first for him. He's got 100-something wins for many teams, and he placed in 10th place in a Ferrari. So that just shows you how remarkable Kimi Antonelli's day one was for his career. That's amazing. I'd love to hear how excited he is and see if he needs an agent.
That was pretty high hype. I'm not sure that we're going to start comparing him to Lewis just yet.
I'm just saying, for his first race, that's amazing.
All right.
Build a statue.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to stick with F1 Rooster, and I'm bringing two people to the bar because I want to see the talk about different ends of the spectrum. I am going to bring Helmut Marko and Anthony Hamilton. And I don't know if you all saw, you probably did, this Isaac Hadjar, another rookie driver. Yeah. I guess what do they call it? It's a Racing Bulls this year. Yeah. I think that's the name of the team. Changes every year. And he crashed out on the formation lap.
Yes, before the race even got started.
Not the way you want to start your F1 career, but he did crash out and he then balled out. I mean, he lost it. He was crying all the way, could hardly compose himself, walking back. He had a camera in his face. I think he's like 18 also. And Anthony Hamilton, Lewis's dad, met him somewhere along the walk and put his arms around him, gave him a hug, told him something, and continued walking with him a good way of the time, just, you know, telling him to keep his head up the whole time. Contrast that with one Helmut Marko, who I don't know who this MF-er is, by the way. I mean, his name seems to come up with nothing ever good in Formula One, but he blasted the kid for how embarrassing it was that he was crying. And just that is, you know, not how an F1 driver should behave. Christian Horner tried to come to his defense a little bit and showed it showed how much he cared and just how devastating it would be. So I want to see those two guys at a bar and see if somebody can learn something from someone.
That's good.
That was a good one.
All right, Rooster, who's letting us do this show?
Well, friends in the legal field, I want to talk to you about our first sponsor tonight, Digital Law Marketing. And if you're a lawyer or a law firm tired of meeting with your website company and hearing about the number of visits you got last month, but never seeing an increase in cases, I recommend to you that you get in touch with Digital Law Marketing, DLM, because we're clients of them, Bison's firm is a client of theirs. And I'll tell you, when I meet with them, what I hear about are the new cases we've signed up organically as a result of their outstanding work on our website and other digital marketing. So it's Digital Law Marketing. Give them a call. It's Stephanie Chu and Mike Edwards are the people to talk to. And you can't go wrong.
Great people, too. Just great people. All right, let's jump into it then. Hey, it's March. There's madness. We got four regions and three SMQBs. So, House, why don't you take it away with the South region, and then we'll wrap up with you at the end.
Very, very excited to get underway. The ball is tipped. One shining moment awaits us. We'll start in the South region with the number one overall seed, the Auburn Tigers. I was a little surprised that they got that seed, given the fact that Florida won the SEC and given the fact that Auburn finished with three losses to end their season, three of the last four, I should say. But over the season, they were dominant in what is clearly, notwithstanding their loss within the SEC tournament, notwithstanding that the SEC has been far and away the best tournament. I think the SEC put in some ungodly number of teams into the tournament, and Auburn dominated that conference. They're highlighted by superstar Johnny Broome, but they have five players in total who average double digits. They're so well balanced. They're coached well by Coach Pearl. So Auburn is the headline, but there are some really interesting stories in the South region. The Grizzly veteran Tom Izzo is back with one of his best teams that he's had in a long, long time. They are staunch defenders. They're fifth nationally in defending the arc, which these days, the way college basketball is played with the game beyond the arc, teams only shoot 27% against Michigan State. However, Michigan State's problem offensively is that they themselves are only 327th in the nation beyond the arc. So they rely on banging it down low, where they've been very, very successful. They're headlined by, you guys will remember, Michigan State star Jason Richardson. Jace Richardson, his kid, just to show how old we are, Jace Richardson is their star.
Oof.
Yeah, I know, right?
What? That's going to leave a mark.
Iowa State was on its way to something really special with a 15-1 start, but they've had injury bugs, been 8-7 since. They're point guard, and we all know that point guard play really rules the NCAA tournament, and Keyshawn Gilbert, their point guard, is likely to be out. So I think, as we're going to hear, I think the theme across these regions is going to be that the one and two seeds are about as strong of one and two seeds that we've seen in this tournament in a very long time. That said, there are a couple fun sleepers to think about in the South region, headed by, and we're going to talk about the Mr. Pitino, but Mr. Pitino's son, Richard Pitino, heads up the University of New Mexico, the number 10 seed. And I would recommend you guys, when you're putting in your bets, that when University of New Mexico faces Cam Jones and Marquette, watch out. They have a chaos defense. They are just, what was it, Nolan Richardson in Arkansas with 40 minutes of hell or whatever it was. That's the way University of New Mexico plays. And I think that if they play the kind of defense they've been playing throughout the season, they could definitely pull that traditional 10-7 matchup over Marquette, but maybe even go beyond and upset Iowa State as well. So look out for them, and also look out for University of California, San Diego, number 12 seed, the old 12-5 dreaded seed. They face Michigan, who's a little pissed off that after having won the Big Ten, the best that they could get was a number 5 seed, probably a little low for them, but that just goes to show how high some of these 1-2-3 seeds are. But UCSD is headed by a New Zealander named Annie Waniwa Tate-Jones. And you're going to hear a lot about this dude. He's going to start to get a lot of headlines, particularly if they advance and upset Michigan. UCSD forces more turnovers than almost anybody in the country. Check this out. They force turnovers in 22% of their opponent's possession. More than two times out of every time the opponent brings the ball up the court, UCSD is forcing a turnover. Critical in the NCAA game. So look out for UCSD. Let's not forget some standouts like Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton, Cam Jones from Marquette. But in the end, guys, you know, as tempting as it is to see a Tom Izzo coach team come out of that region, for me, I'm going to go chalk in the South region and say that Auburn, notwithstanding the end of their year where they slipped a little bit, they'll be coming out of the South to win that region. That's the South.
This is the softest region, right?
I think so. You know, as I was looking at this bracket and thinking about like who Auburn had to get through, I know Louisville is really, really pissed off. It's one of the lowest seeded number 13 teams in history. They finished the season number 13. They're 27-7 and only got an 8 seed. I do think they will provide a test to Auburn, but after that, you know, you're really not seeing a lot. So I agree with you. I think that that's the to the winner go the spoils. Auburn as the number 1 seed gets the softest region.
Yeah, and by the way, I've got problems with that. I did not watch that much college basketball this year, but I don't understand how Auburn gets the overall number 1. It makes no sense.
They should have been the third number 1 seed.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So, all right, that's it on the South then. Rooster, you want to cover the East?
Yeah, you know, the East begins and ends with the health of Duke's superstar Cooper Flagg and their first guy off the bench, Malik Brown. Cooper Flagg injured his ankle in the ACC game against Georgia Tech, and then Malik Brown in the same game re-dislocated his shoulder. He's their forward off the bench. When those guys are healthy, this team has no holes, and they play mistake-free basketball and would, in my opinion, march all the way to the finals. They've got a shot-making guard named Con Knipple, who just, you know, when the team's running right, that guy's spotting up and making great shots. They have a all-purpose alpha guard, Tyrese Proctor, who reminds me of Marcus Smart when he was at the peak of his powers on the Celtics. They've got this rim protector, Kamen Maluk. And then, of course, they've got the number one rookie in the entire college basketball, Cooper Flagg. If he's healthy, they're, I think, going to run through the East. I don't think they need him, of course, for the first game. They're going to need him to probably get by Baylor, who I think is going to beat Mississippi State. Baylor has a one-and-done on their team who's going to the NBA, a guy named Vijay Edgecombe. And they also have a former Duke 2-time captain on their team, Jeremy Roach, who scored 1,000 points for Duke and is now scoring 10.3 points a game for Baylor. So that should be an interesting matchup. I think Duke's going to prevail. I think they're going to wind up getting a little bit of a challenge from BYU, who I think makes it to the Elite Eight. And BYU has another NBA star, future star on their team, which, as you pointed out, House, is really important for this tournament. He is a premier point guard, Edgar Demon. BYU's won 10 straight coming into March Madness, so look out for them. I think they take out Alabama, which, I don't know, I can never get out of my head that Alabama-Auburn game, which was like watching paint dry a few weeks ago. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
You know, unless Alabama's on fire, they're gonna struggle against a team like BYU that gets up and down really well. So, yeah, I think Duke gets past BYU, gets to the finals, and then, you know, I'm interested to see who you have coming out of the West, House, because, man, am I tempted to take St. John's.
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you real quick, Rooster, I also had that BYU-Bama game, which I anticipate will happen as one of the better games of this tournament to watch. And I think it's going to be a really close one. It's hard to bet against Mark Sears and that Bama team, but I agree with you. BYU is a team, one of all the teams in the NCAA, BYU is a team nobody wants to play right now.
It'll also be fun to see Arizona play Duke with Caleb Love on Arizona.
No.
Last time.
I don't believe in Arizona. No. Every
year. They're
not
going to win. Every year, Arizona.
No. I even started to write their name down, and I was like, what are you doing? They are terrible. No. I don't even know why we let them in the goddamn tournament. God damn those guys.
They screwed us last year.
Oh, my God. Every year. All right, Rooster, anything else on the East?
That's it.
Interesting takes, guys. Thanks for helping me with my bracket. That's good info there. All right, I'm going to cover the Midwest, and I don't know what to make of the SEC. in basketball. I mean, House, you're right. They got tons of teams. They were clearly the strongest. But there's something about my Big East blood that just refuses to allow me to believe that they're the best conference with the best teams. So it definitely causes me a lot of heartache as I go through these. I mean, Houston's obviously the one seed. I think, Rooster, to your point about watching paint dry, isn't that a little bit of Houston too? I mean, their defense is so locked down. I think they can score 55 points in a game and win. Take the under when Houston's playing. So do you know how many times Gonzaga has made the Sweet 16 in a row?
Something crazy, like 16 or 18 or something like that.
It's not that many, but it's 9.
Or maybe that's the number of tournaments. They made 20 tournaments in a row or something.
I think
like
that's
that.
Right. 9 straight Sweet 16s for Gonzaga.
Wow. Wow.
And then Georgia, in that 8-9 matchup, how does a team that goes sub 500 in conference get A, in the tournament, but B, a 9 seed? I mean, Georgia was under 500. Now, I think they beat Kentucky, and did they beat Florida?
I think
at
Bubba's got some kids going to Georgia.
Yeah, they beat Bubba Cunningham. Yeah, they did. They beat both of them.
They beat Florida and Kentucky, but they still ended up under 500 in the SEC. I don't know. So I have a hard time really believing in Georgia, but it should be a good matchup, I guess, Georgia-Gonzaga. Clemson always seems to find itself somewhere in the 5-12 upset. Either they're upsetting someone at 12 or they're getting upset. So with respect to Zach Clemson, I think that's your upset right there is McNeese.
No.
Knocking
no
Clemson
way.
Out. I don't know.
No.
I don't
Clemson's
know.
Clemson's in the Sweet 16 this year.
Nope.
Elite 8.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. So watch that one. What else do we have here? I don't know. Purdue. It's another team that it's always hard for me to totally believe in, but I think Purdue's pretty tough. I don't know.
What do you
it's
think about Kentucky against Illinois in the second round?
Oh, I think Kentucky rolls Illinois. I don't know why, but I don't see that as
I'm not sure that Illinois is in that game.
Yeah. They may not be over Texas, but
agree.
Yeah. That's a good point. Texas might
win that
game.
You never know which Kentucky's going to show up either.
Yeah. But I do think, though, that Purdue could be a sleeper. All right. They could be a sleeper. They're either asleep or they're a sleeper. That's the thing at Purdue, right? They either. I just feel like every year that you look at them and you say, oh, they should do well. And then they kind of let you down. You know, ultimately, I just think in this region, Houston, you know, they're going to probably play Tennessee. I mean, it's chalk, but I think that's how it ends up coming out of here. And I think ultimately Houston gets through to the Final Four. I'm not really sure if there's any great drama here in this region. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think there's anything that really jumps out at you?
I've got Tennessee beating Houston.
Well, I actually have Tennessee beating Clemson. I think the Clemson-Houston is as good of a game as BYU-Bama. I think Clemson has been playing great, great basketball all season long in the ACC. And I don't know. I have a funny feeling that Clemson's offensive power is going to overcome Houston's defense in that matchup. That's my mini upset, 5-1 upset, to have Clemson face Tennessee in the Elite Eight and Tennessee comes out of that bracket.
What's the status of the Houston injury situation?
I don't know the latest. I know they had a kid that was injured, but I haven't seen the latest on that.
I'm going to throw another team out there that might make a little noise. Utah State. Keep an eye on Utah State getting past UCLA in the 7-10 game. And then I know you guys seem to like Tennessee, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see Utah State give Tennessee a pretty good run in that game too. I think that's it on the Midwest.
That leaves the West.
Yeah. House.
That brings me over to the West, where I know this is the point at which Milk, who we miss so much while he's skiing down the slopes in Colorado, listens extra careful for my analysis of his Florida Gators. And the good news is, Milk, that Vegas has Florida as +350 to win the whole thing. And the good news is also that Florida has won 12 of its last 13 and has great guard play, which is, again, required for the NCAA. So I like it, Milk. I mean, Walter Clayton Jr. is probably the best guard, maybe the best guard that will play in this tournament. He was the MVP of the SEC tournament. They've got another really good guard in Elijah Martin. They've got a whole rotation of big men, including Alex Condon, who leads their big men. I think their coaching, Golden, is great. Their assistant coach, who I love, Carlin Hartman from the Tulane Green Wave. Florida is, they're definitely the one to beat. However, hold all tickets, because look, like we said with the number one overall seed, it's the easiest region. With the fourth number one seed in Florida, I think the West is the toughest. I mean, whatever you want to say.
Florida got screwed. They got screwed.
Well, whatever you want to say about a down UConn team getting a number eight seed and being 23-10, they're still coached by that nutcase and Hurley. And, you know, they're still the two-time defending champion. Now, I actually think their first matchup is a tough one in Oklahoma, but I'm telling you, Florida wants no parts of that UConn game, no parts of a really good coach in Hurley. Florida's far and away the better team on paper, but that would be a very, very interesting game. Number four, Maryland, has a guy. I know being from the DC area, they're a rival, but watch this kid, Derek Queen, and watch him move up the draft board. This kid's a stud. He averages 16-9, and Maryland is a dangerous, dangerous team.
And this will be his only tournament.
This will be his only tournament. So I think Maryland's a tough play. Also, Drake is a sweetheart sleeper pick. You're just going to hear it nonstop this week of all the sleepers. They've won 18 of their last 19. They have a star guard kid named Bennett Sturts, who again is going to be playing in the NBA. They are number one in the NCAA in steals. There are a lot of folks who think that Drake is going to take down the sixth seed Missouri and take down the number three seed Texas Tech. It wouldn't surprise me. Texas Tech has a great player, JT Toppin, but Drake is really, really playing well. Missouri and Texas Tech both have very good offenses, but Drake has incredible defense, and so they're the darling sleeper pick. Another sleeper pick, which I told you guys as soon as the brackets came out, just bank it now. Colorado State is beating Memphis. I know the most about the AAC because
really?
I've been watching. Yes.
Yeah, I picked that.
Here's the main reason. Their star player, Tyrese Hunter, at best is going to be playing on a bum ankle, and at worst, he's not going to be playing. He left the AAC semifinals with 5 minutes into the second half of that game. He did not play in the AAC finals, and they are a different and much lesser team without Tyrese Hunter. And even if he plays, I think he's going to be gimpy. And Nick Clifford on Colorado State is one of the best defenders in this tournament. By the way, Vegas likes it too. Colorado State is -2.5 as a 12 seed in that matchup. But I'll reserve everything else about the West for what is going to be the story that everybody wants to talk about, is Rick Pitino finding that shine again with another reclamation project, taking that St. John's team who hasn't smelled really anything since the Lou Carnesecca days of any significance. And he's back. He's back with RJ Lewis Jr., who's the Big East Player of the Year, star guard. As usual with Pitino teams, his defense is just off the charts. And so I think St. John's takes down Kansas and Hunter Dickinson, who feels like he's been playing in the NCAA forever. I think St. John's takes down some combination of either Drake or Texas Tech. And then the big matchup. Probably the best non-Final Four game, I think, will be the St. John's Florida game. And I got to tell you, Milk, don't be pissed at me, but St. John's is coming out of this bracket.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
I agree.
Wow. I just think Pitino has a great team that are playing on all cylinders. And if UConn was the former darling of the Big East who played all the way through to the end, I think you have it this year in St. John's. The Big East will not be put to death in this tournament. And this year it's coming through St. John's.
No, it felt oddly personal, didn't it, Rooster? I mean, it felt like a shot at Milk. It just, I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It just felt personal.
Rooster has it too.
What little basketball I watched this past weekend was all Big East. And St.
John's. As it should be.
As it's just head and shoulders above. And Creighton played well. UConn played better than they've been playing. Marquette played well. I mean, you talk about Nolan Richardson's defense. Marquette's coach, Shaka Smart, had the same style when he was coaching VCU of full court press for the whole game. They're a tough defensive team also, and none of them could really hang with St. John's. Every other game was tight except for the St. John's game.
Well, by the way, I want to mention something before we get everybody's final four picks here. I want to give UConn a little credit. Hey, Rooster, I appreciated the UConn kid who kind of went after the Creighton guy who threw the windmill dunk down and hung on the rim at the end of that game. And the UConn guy, I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He was not having that. So I like that fight. And in Madison Square Garden,
an NBA game, and you're gonna get thrown to the ground and punched.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciated that.
People want to say, oh, UConn deserves it because Danny Hurley has a big mouth. Oh. Danny Hurley doesn't pull that shit at the end of a game. He puts his kid in there to dribble out the clock.
I just want to put in a word for our friend Pope, who's not able to join us, which I know it's killing him because he loves college basketball so much, including his cheating North Carolina Tar Heels and the way they've made it in. But he has got, now that we've kind of gone through the brackets, he also has Duke in the East. He also has Tennessee in the Midwest. In the South, what's kind of crazy, I was surprised to see this, and I'll look forward to hearing more from him next week if they're still around, but he's got Michigan coming out of the South, the Big Ten champ, and then he does have Milks, Florida, coming out of the West. I don't know how he calls Clemson a sleeper in the Midwest because they're not really a sleeper, but he's got a BYU sleeper in the East and a Maryland sleeper in the West. And wouldn't you know it, oh, in the South, God, he's got UNC as a sleeper.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So,
Homer.
Go San Diego State.
Unbelievable. All right, House, who do you have in the Final Four?
My Final Four, I've got Auburn coming out of the South. I've got St. John's coming out of the West. I've got Tennessee coming out of the Midwest. And I've got Duke coming out of the East with an Auburn-Duke 1v1 final. These two teams have dominated throughout the year. Mine is with the same asterisk that Rooster put on this earlier in his rundown of that region. This is all dependent on Cooper Flagg playing healthy. And I think he will be healthy. And if he's healthy, I think they ride all the way to the finals and a championship. I think this is Cooper Flagg. I think he's generational. I mean, he's going to be very special at the next level too. And I see a Duke-Auburn final with a Duke victory. Sorry, Pope.
Rooster?
By the way, Pope has Tennessee over Duke, Florida over Michigan, and Milk will love to hear this too, that he's got an all-SEC final, Pope does, with Florida over Tennessee.
All right. My picks are very close to House's, with the exception of the South. I see Michigan State having an easy ride to the Elite Eight where they knock off Auburn.
Wow.
Get to the Final Four.
Wow.
And lose to St. John's in the Final Four. I've got Duke going to the Final Four in the East and Tennessee in the Midwest, with Duke beating Tennessee and Duke beating St. John's in the finals.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Duke out of the East, Houston out of the Midwest. I've got Michigan State out of the South. And based on my alum wife, who knows what a basketball looks like, it's probably the only sporting gear she can identify, I'm taking the Gators out of the West. I got the Gators over Michigan State, Duke over Houston, and the Florida Gators,
oh,
national champions.
Wow. This Why are we amazing. Doing this for Milk? Why? Why?
Well,
I
think that's not for Milk. I think it's for somebody else.
You think Mr. Nace thinks he might get a little fun?
You
might have his own
any
March
idea
Madness.
What March Madness even is? So, all right, guys. Anything else on hoops?
Not right now.
All right, that's
More
it.
To come.
Let's move to a tradition unlike any other. It's the SMQB's March Madness. So we have done Girl Scout cookies. That wasn't controversial at all. We have done best sports movies. Also not controversial at all.
Still upset over that.
Yep. This year we are going big. This is big. This is the biggest tournament we've ever had. We're coming at you with the March Madness of the best musical artists of all time.
Wow.
With some maybe exceptions to the regions are, we've got a rap region, We've got a rock region, metal slash hair band, and alternative rock. All right. I'm going to give you the
seedings
here.
Apologies to Mozart.
Yeah, well, and you know, there's we're not going to hear any Taylor Swift, so
or Miles Davis.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. These are the brackets. This is what
I
we got.
I better fucking find Coldplay in here.
All right. So.
Oh God.
Here we go. So.
Don't get me started. Where are we starting?
Alternative rock bracket.
Okay.
All right. The one seed Nirvana taking on your 16 seed Pixies.
Wow.
The 8-9 matchup, always exciting. Radiohead versus The Cure. The 5-12 Killers versus Green Day. The 4-13 game, Chili Peppers versus the White Stripes.
Okay.
In the 6-11 matchup, Stone Temple Pilots versus REM. The 3 seed is the Foo Fighters taking on Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, no. Okay.
7-10 Alice in Chains versus Violent Femmes.
Great.
And then the 2 seed Pearl Jam going up against Oasis, your 15 seed. All right. That's our alternative rock bracket.
Are we staying there for a moment, or what are we doing?
Make some picks here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just a pick for the first round, right?
All right,
because we're going to come back next week, right?
Yep. We got a lot of work to do. All right, so first round, we need votes: Nirvana versus Pixies.
All right, I got to go first here. I've seen the Pixies; they're a fun punk grunge band, but they don't even hold a candle to the gods of grunge. Nirvana has to be a unanimous pick there.
There is no UMBC here. The Nirvana is, they're through.
All right. Are we looking at Pope's picks? I mean, he sent them in.
Yeah, he's got Nirvana. I've got him. I've got him.
All right.
He's got Nirvana, so we're fine.
All right, 4-0, Nirvana moves on. All right, let's go down to the 2-15 matchup of Pearl Jam Oasis. If this isn't a 4-0, I don't know. Something's wrong in the world.
Exactly.
Listen, some great tunes from the boys from Oasis, but they're not in the same league. No. They are not in the same league as Eddie and the Boys. It's a unanimous vote for Pearl Jam.
They're not even in the same league as the other group of whiners that you all like Coldplay.
Hold your powder to
a grown man whining.
Hold your powder.
Slit your wrist and listen to Oasis and Coldplay.
The 3 seed Foo Fighters taking on 14 seeded Smashing Pumpkins.
All right, House. You and I think are going to be on the same page.
I know.
No, you guys aren't going to. You're not.
Yes. No, we are big. Rooster and I are big Billy Corgan fans.
The Smashing
Huge.
Pumpkins do not deserve a 14 seed.
Yeah,
they're iconic. Yeah. And the Foo Fighters are okay, are good, but they're just
with a smile.
There's nothing Leave unique about the Foo Fighters. They're
all right.
They play stuff that's been played by everybody else.
This would so crush Pope because Pope would want the Foo Fighters to be a number one seed, and he does have the Foo Fighters circled. But listen,
the Pumpkins are just iconic.
You can make. Today is the greatest day I've ever known.
We're going to have to leave this to Milk to decide to be the tiebreaker.
Or how about Disarm? Disarm backed up by an orchestra.
We're here 2-2 at this point. Milk's going to have to be the deciding vote on that one.
Okay, all right. He's never heard anything by either one of them.
Neither one of those guys knows the Smashing Pumpkins.
All right. I just saw the Smashing Pumpkins this summer. Number 4, Chili Peppers versus the White Stripes, 13 seed.
I mean, I love Jack, but yeah, the body work. You got to go with the Red Hots there.
All right. What's Pope? Pope's got chalk, I bet.
Yeah,
right?
He's got the Red Hots. Yeah.
All right. 4-0 there. All right. Next is 5, the Killers versus 12 seeded Green Day.
Oof.
That's another one that's an easy pick for me, and I'm going Green Day.
Yeah, I love the Killers so much. The
Killers
but
have a handful of really good songs, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean,
Green Day came out with American Idiot.
Another vote for Billy Joe. Classic. I mean, just can't. The body of work. I mean,
who's Pope got?
He's got the Killers.
Yeah. So I saw them both this summer, and I'm going to go with the Killers because I want to put the pressure on Milk to.
This is
to
great.
Break this tie.
This is great. This is great.
I want all the pressure on Milk to break the
okay,
tie.
Okay. All right.
All right. Now we got this 6-11 is the Stone Temple Pilots and REM.
Same analysis.
It's REM all day. I mean, I
all
you
day,
know like.
Every day.
Yeah, I mean, STP has like a couple of really good tunes, really, really good tunes. Right. But the body of work, decades. REM created alternative music stations in college radio. Right. I mean,
they were a movement unto themselves.
Yes.
STP was one of 10 great grunge bands.
Michael Stipe is...
Who's Pope got?
The guy. Pope's got REM.
All right. Well, this is going to be 3-1 for REM.
Okay.
All right. Alice in Chains versus Violent Femmes.
When I'm walking, I strut my stuff, and I'm so strung out. How about
they come to snuff the rooster?
I gotta go with the Femmes.
That's a tough call.
I gotta go with the Femmes.
Tough call.
Boys from Milwaukee. I gotta go with them. By the way, Pope has the Femmes.
I do too, but I have to throw out a shout out to the Rooster.
All right. I saw the Violent Femmes this summer and I'm going with them. 4-0 for the Violent Femmes. And then I think the last one is the 8-9.
Yep.
House, this is gonna be tough for you. Radiohead versus the Cure.
Come on. Like, I can't even believe this. Radiohead should be like a 3 or 4 seed. I mean, Thom Yorke, come on. The greatest song of all time, Creep. So I'm going with Radiohead. Pope, I'm sticking a dagger in his voodoo doll right now because he's got the Cure, which says a lot about that.
The last time I was in Pope's presence with his wife and the Cure came on, he's like, who's that?
Oh, come on.
Yes. All right. I'm going with Radiohead too because... Again, I like The Cure, but there was a time there in the 80s where there were 5 other bands that sounded just like The Cure. Radiohead is unique. They deserve a higher seed. I agree. I'm going Radiohead.
All right. I'm putting the pressure back on Milk. 2-2.
Oh, my God.
2-2. All right. We got to hustle up, boys. We got a lot to do here. We're going to go through all these.
Milk's going to screw me because I did St. John's. He's now going to pick The Cure.
I can't believe Pope picked The Cure.
We have to have him make his picks before he listens to this. Let's go over to metal.
All right, I got metal. All right, the 116. I'm going to go through them and we'll just vote as we go through them. Okay,
go.
All right, 116 is Motley Crue versus Warrant.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
It's got to be a 4-0, right?
Yes.
All right, the 215 is Metallica with the 2 seed versus Whitesnake.
Metallica all the way.
Also,
I'm going with Metallica, but Pope did put down Whitesnake just for what it's worth. I love that guy. And he's got a lot of street cred on the metal stuff.
He's got like a favorite song and he's never going to shake it.
All right. I'm not sure about the seating on this one, but you know, this was a little last minute here. The 3 seed Bon Jovi versus 14 Twisted Sister.
I mean,
Bon Jovi.
I'm going with Bon Jovi, but I don't even know how they're in this category.
Well, they started off as a hair band. I think it was metal hair, right? So, all right. Was it 4-0 for Bon Jovi?
Yep.
All right, the 4 seed is Van Halen versus Iron Maiden.
Oof.
Is Van Close Halen one. A metal band?
Hair. Well, it was metal and hair.
Although I've had issues with their lead singers, I'm going with Van Halen.
I'm going Van Halen, too.
I'm going Van Halen also.
Yeah.
Who did Pope have?
He had Van Halen.
All right, another 4-0. All right, the 5 seed is Black Sabbath versus Poison.
Oh, you got to go Black Sabbath.
Yeah, Ozzy all day.
You got to
easy,
do that.
Easy, right? 4-0. Okay.
Easy. They could come out of this region. No 5-12
upset there. All right, the 6-11, Megadeth versus Skid Row.
Skid Row had one song, yes. 18 in Life. Yeah. It's got to be Megadeth all day.
All the way.
All right. 7-10, Cinderella versus Rat.
God.
I don't know either band.
I mean, Pope's got Rat circled here. They both suck. I'm just going to give one to Pope here and go with Rat also.
How can Cinderella can't beat a Rat, right? It's got to be Rat.
Cinderella has been knocked out by a Cinderella story. The Rat.
I abstain from voting.
That's 3-0 abstention.
All right.
Oh my God.
All right. And then the 8-9 game, Def Leppard versus Judas Priest.
Ooh.
And Judas Priest kind of started this, right?
Yeah. Rob Halford's a badass.
You got to give him their props for being one of the first.
I do too. I mean, I know Def Leppard's classic and almost more popular metal, but I'm going with Judas Priest.
All right. Now, do you give any points to Def Leppard for taking out an SMQB's knee in a tragic air guitar incident?
It's worth something there.
It should be. All right. So who did Pope pick here?
Def Leppard.
He did. Interesting.
Yes.
All right. This is going to be 3-1.
All right.
All right.
Goodbye, Def. We're on to rock.
Rock. All right. The number one Beatles
this is the toughest region in the whole thing.
All right, well, we got the Beatles.
The rap region is tough.
Versus the Ramones.
The fact that the Ramones are a 16 shows how strong this region is. Of course you have to go with the Beatles, but sorry to Joey and the guys, but that...
Yeah, I mean, it's the Beatles.
The Ramones are such great rockers. So many, so many bands patted themselves after the Ramones, but you got to go with the Beatles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be 4-0, right?
Yeah.
All right, the 215 are the Rolling Stones versus the Doors.
This is my biggest upset of the whole thing.
What?
No.
Yes.
Well, there's no way the Doors are a 15 seed. That's the problem.
Right. I'm going with Jim Morrison. I just love the Doors. I'm going to break on through the other side right now and take the Doors.
All right. I love the Doors, too. I think they should be the 4 seed here.
Wow. And
the Who should be, or maybe the Who should be 4 or 5. Led Zeppelin should be 1 or 2 or 3. I mean, the fucking Doors at 15 is just un-American.
Who are you taking?
I'm going with the Stones. The Stones are either the first or best band ever.
Pope has the Stones.
Yeah, so that's 3-1. All right, the 3 seed is Springsteen versus, oh, I didn't even put a 14 seed in.
Oh, well, this is a good time to put in Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
All right.
No, how about Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Yeah, Lynyrd Skynyrd would be fine too. It doesn't matter because Bruce Springsteen's rolling them all.
Yep.
We're going to give, I mean, Springsteen versus the field, and Springsteen's going to win 4-0, right?
Pretty much. Any 14 seed.
All right.
By the way, I don't want to sound like the old guy all the time, but it's a crying shame that Bad Company's not on this list.
There you go. Oh. They're the 14th seed. There you go. All right. All or right. Yes.
Queen with the 5 seed versus number 12, AC/DC.
Queen.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie Mercury is the greatest voice of all time.
I'm taking AC/DC.
It's 2-2.
2-2. Milk. Gonna have to decide. Oh, wait. I guess I missed the 4-13 game. Zeppelin versus The Who.
I don't know how The Who is the 13.
It's insanity.
It's like the most insane thing ever. Yep. I mean, you can't have Jimi Hendrix at 7 and The Who at 13. But if that's the matchup with Led Zeppelin and The Who, I mean, I don't know what Bubba Cunningham was thinking, but I'll
say. He's got The Who behind Guns N' Roses. Behind Aerosmith.
The committee was on crack for this one. I'm taking Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, me too.
It should be 4-0.
Under protest. Under protest.
It is 4-0 Zeppelin.
Yeah, come on. The Who sucks.
The Who does not suck.
No, they do not suck. Oh my God. Suck.
All right. The 6th seed, U2 versus Guns N' Roses.
You know this is my 1 seed, U2, so don't even talk to me about anything here. I'm so mad there are 6.
You and Pope have to both have U2.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of U2, but I advance them over Guns N' Roses.
Rooster, it would be a little fucked up, Rooster, if you didn't take U2 on St. Patrick's Day.
I know it. I know.
So, all right, well, it's going to be 3-1.
Although they're not even popular in Ireland.
I'm taking Guns N' Roses, so it's 3-1. All right, Hendrix versus Aerosmith, a late entry in the 7-10 matchup.
Yeah, I'm a Steven Tyler fan. I love Jimi Hendrix. This is a great matchup. It's one of the best of the tournament, but I got to go with Aerosmith. Pope has gone with Hendrix.
I'm going Hendrix.
I like Aerosmith, too. I'm going to have to go with a guitar pioneer, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Aerosmith. 3-1.
Damn.
All right, and the 8-9. Fleetwood Mac versus Coldplay
should be number 20.
Coldplay should be like a 1 or 2.
Coldplay
seed.
Should be seeded number 20 on this list.
This is going to be another
only
one for
15
milk.
Seeds. Fleetwood Mac, all the way, baby.
I got Coldplay, and so does Bison, and Pope has Fleetwood Mac.
So that's 2-2. In a head to head of concerts, Coldplay crushes Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
So 2-2.
Body of work.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the last one, perhaps the most competitive bracket is the rap bracket. Our 1 seed is Jay-Z versus Missy Elliott.
Oof, is that good? Get your freak on. Yeah. Poor Missy.
Poor Missy.
That's a tough matchup. I mean,
what about a little salt and pepper? Wow,
that would have been a good one. I'm sending Missy through.
I'm not. I got to go H to the Izzo. It's Jay-Z for me all day.
Jay-Z.
Did Pope even pick in this bracket?
Pope, I think he did, yeah.
Pope has Jay-Z with a big question mark next to every person listed here.
All right. The 2 versus 15. This could be a big upset. This is Richmond.
Public Enemy number 1.
This is number 2 Tupac versus number 15 Public Enemy. I'm sending Public Enemy.
Fear of a Black Planet may have been one of the best albums ever.
Ever.
And Public Enemy had a message, a protest message, an important message. They should have been the number 1 or 2 seed, in my opinion. They got to advance. I'm sorry about Tupac. The guy's a legend. He's a legend. But Public Enemy is just too important in the history of music to have them get knocked out in the first round.
Pope crossed off Tupac and wrote Hoopac. No, I'm just kidding. he had Tupac.
He did?
But yeah, he did.
All right. Well, just like that's his life, Tupac's cut short here, so he's gone 3-1.
Again.
Cut down too early. All right. The 3 seed, we've got Eminem versus Biggie.
Wow.
That's a tight one.
Oh, I love it when you call me Big Papa. Mm. All right. Well, if you had only one shot, one chance.
I gotta go Eminem.
I'm going to go with Eminem, too.
I'll go with Eminem.
And Pope did, too.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Poor Biggie. The memory is gone. all right. 4 seed. LL Cool J versus the 13. Another missed seed, probably. NWA.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Totally missed seeded.
Yeah,
I'm an LL Cool J backseat. Let's swing an episode. I got to go with LL Cool J.
I'm going.
I like LL Cool J. I like the stuff he's done since he became a rapper, including his radio station.
I'm gonna knock you out.
We featured him on our show for a while with the punchable face, but NWA again, an important protest band in the '80s. You know, that they were talking about George Floyd before there was a George Floyd. They, you know, their song Fuck the Police is for all the bad pub it got, had an important message about what was going on in African-American communities getting their asses kicked by the police. They and Public Enemy, I really think, sit atop the list for their message. And, you know, it's funny because at the same time, the Beastie Boys were coming out with that Fight for Your Right to Party, while Public Enemy was Fight the Power That Be. And guess who's more popular today? Probably the Beastie Boys, because I don't think people have an appetite for all that protest music, but it's really important, has been since the 60s, and I loved it when rap took up that mantle, and I hate it now that we're hearing all the shit.
So you're taking Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I would take Peter, Paul, and Mary and all those people over a lot of folks, but I'm taking NWA over.
And who did Pope have?
He had LL Cool J.
All right,
I have LL Cool J.
2-2, so nothing says decide a rap battle like milk.
I can't wait. By the way, there is a noticeable absence here of Wu-Tang, so I just want to say
you're right.
A milk off. We're going to have milk off.
All right, we got the 5-12. You know what? I'm making an executive decision. I'm taking Kanye out of this tournament, and I'm putting the Wu-Tang in right now.
Yeah. There we
go. Snoop versus Wu-Tang in the 5-12 matchup.
That's a great matchup, actually.
I'm taking Wu-Tang.
I'm taking Wu-Tang. That's that Wu-Tang Clan forever.
I'm probably being affected by some of Snoop's recent sellouts, but I'm taking Wu-Tang.
All right.
They're through. There's our first 12-5 upset.
All right. There we go. Who did Pope have? He probably had Snoop.
He had Snoop.
Of course. All right. So let's see. We got to go to the 6-11. 6 seed Run DMC versus the 11th Queen Latifah.
Oh, got to take Run DMC.
Yeah, you got to take Run DMC, right?
Wait, what number is this?
6-11.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to make it a 3-1. Pope's got Run DMC, but I got Queen La.
Right.
But it is Run DMC's through.
All right. 7-10 is Kendrick Lamar versus the Beastie Boys.
Wow. I mean, I just love the Beasties so much. Sabotage is such my jam.
Yeah. Beasties.
Intergalactic.
Planetary.
Pope definitely took the Beastie Boys.
He did take the Beasties.
Yeah. All right. 4-0. Sorry, Kendrick.
Wow.
It was a good year for you, but it's coming to an end.
Kanye and Kendrick are both out. Okay.
Yeah. All right. The 8-9 matchup. Dre versus Two Live Crew.
Don't forget about Dre. You got to go with Dre.
I got to take two live here. I'm taking two live.
Oh, my God. The Chronic is such a great app.
I'm taking two live.
Pope thought it was one of his experts, so he circled Dr. Dre. So I got my vote and Pope's vote for Dr. Dre.
I'm with Dr. Dre based on the incredible body of work.
I have to decide that. Damn it.
Incredible body of work.
All right.
Two Live Crew had what, one good album?
I love it. I love it. I love it. Send the updated brackets. We'll post them.
All right. That's it. We got it. All right. Good work. This will be fun. I'm sure nobody will have any opinions on this.
So, none.
Moving on. Who's got a punch?
I had one and now I have two. They're both local and they have to do with destroying franchises. And you guys know how I feel about Villanova basketball and what Jay Wright did for that team. And I don't know if you experienced the same feelings when coaches came in and destroyed the legacy of Georgetown. And I'm not saying the legacy of Villanova is destroyed, but what Kyle Neptune did with the talent he was given, there was a lot of talent. Eric Dixon is either the first or second biggest scorer in Villanova basketball history. He had plenty of talent the last couple of years. He squandered it, really set the program back. And I'm sorry, there's a punch out the door. But the other one now, I just got word that they have shut Paul George down for the season. And we all knew when that signing was made that it was just
stupid,
just dumb. And what Daryl Morey has done to this team, and particularly this year, just destroyed this team. I don't know whether Embiid's ever coming back. We forget about any tradability or doing anything with Paul George, particularly that he's injured now. And you're not going to be able to do everything just on the backs of Tyrese Maxey. So we're now playing for a draft pick. And that is crazy to think that we started this year with the team that we started with. And Daryl Morey let Joel Embiid play in the Olympics. He signed Paul George. He just squandered the year. He got no good bench. And so with the left uppercut, I'm going to Kyle Neptune. And the big roundhouse kick goes to Daryl Morey. You two local guys are the punchable faces of the week.
If you go back in time, I know there was at least one SMQB who told you the Paul George thing was not going to work out.
Yeah. No, I agreed.
Yep. All right. Anybody else got a punch? Nope. All right. Buzzer beaters.
I have a couple. And are we going to do Formula One?
Well, let's do it here. We touched on it and we've been going a little long. So I made an executive decision. We cover it in buzzer beaters.
For buzzer beater, I want to acknowledge the retirement of the GOAT of women's basketball, Diana Taurasi. She played for UConn and they won three consecutive championships when she was the star of the team, followed up by 20 years in the WNBA with the Phoenix Mercury.
She played 20 years?
20 years. Yeah, she's 40-something.
That makes a guy feel old.
Yeah, so they won three championships. She was an MVP, a three-time scoring champ, 11-time All-Star. She was also a star of the Olympic basketball team and won four golds for the U.S., and just, I believe, the greatest women's basketball player in history. So the sport's going to miss her. Hats off to her. She really was a gutty, awesome player. And I have one more, but you guys go.
Another lasso?
No, another buzzer.
Another buzzer. I'm sorry, buzzer. So my other my buzzer, just to circle back on this, it's hard to cover the NCAA tournament without talking about some teams that got shafted. And I just want to focus on one, and there's going to be lots of stories about it. I think they're already unfolding today. But whether you want to say that it was Texas, or whether you want to say that it was North Carolina, or whether you want to say that it was Xavier, whoever you want to blame, and I think North Carolina is the number one to blame, but boy, did West Virginia get slighted.
Oof. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is a team that had six quad one wins. This team beat Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas, Iowa State. They finished 10-10 in a tough conference, the Big 12. I don't understand it. They're rewarding UNC for a schedule and basically sending the message, you don't need to win. You just have to have a hard schedule. It doesn't matter. As long as you schedule a whole bunch of quad one teams, it doesn't matter if you go 1-12, well, which is what UNC did. Right, they went 1-12.
They said for years, including Pope, that quad one wins were what?
Well, whoever is the culprit, whatever you want to say, is that last team that stole it from West Virginia. My buzzer is, boy, did West Virginia get robbed on this one. And I feel bad for those fans and for the kids that played for that team.
So a add-on to your buzzer, House, the West Virginia governor, Patrick Morrissey, and his attorney general announced just this afternoon that they are launching an investigation into this NCAA for this slight.
Along with the Saints fans that are still suing the ref over the Rams. I get it. I don't think it's going to change anything, but I hear you.
Fortunately, West Virginia's education system is so solid that they can spend their time.
Not going anywhere near this one. I just want to turn it over to you, Bison, for your buzzer.
All right. I just want to talk Formula One. I know we were going to talk about it at one point, but boy, we got treated to a pretty wild first Grand Prix of the season in Melbourne, Australia. I think we had six rookies start the race. I think only one finished. There were six cars that went out in this thing, including, as we already talked about, one on the formation lap. Carlos Sainz went out on a yellow caution flag driving around the circuit. So we only had 14 cars finish.
But you still haven't mentioned why everybody went out.
Well, it was pouring rain. I mean, it was it wasn't pouring rain. I am a little curious because it was raining and obviously it was slick.
With puddles all over the track.
Teams screw up with their tires. I mean, because everybody must have been off on when to put the intermediates on versus the slicks, because it just seemed like everybody who made a decision on tires got it wrong. And it cost Ferrari big time. I mean, it cost Ferrari a possible 1-2 in the race, and they ended up 9-10, 2-3.
Probably 2-3.
Okay, fair enough. But either
and that's why I think that it was a little on when Rooster said we can say that Kimi is better than Lewis.
I did not say he was better.
No, just not said overall.
This is how amazing his fourth place finish is, considering his stature.
Lewis only got screwed because once again Ferrari made a dumb decision. I learned a new thing in F1, that there's a difference between the heaviness of rain, class 1, class 2, class 3, class 4.
I've never
class
heard
four
that
apparently
before.
Is like, yeah, apparently it's torrential, you can't even run the race. But class 3 is pretty heavy rain. So they announced that on the radar they saw class 3. And everybody came in, but at that point Ferrari was still out in 2 and 3. And they had a decision to make, and Lewis kind of wanted to stay out, and they brought them in just in case. And the rain never really materialized for that long. And by the time they got back out with the intermediate tires, they were 9th and 10th. And it was just a bad decision.
The race was a combo of strategy on tires, luck, really luck on tires.
Yeah.
But then also, you really had a barn burner down the stretch between Lando and Max Verstappen, with a pretty good preview for how the season's going to go, I think.
I think there might be a little milk slap to be handed out, though, to Zach Brown.
McLaren chief.
McLaren's principal. McLaren had 1-2 tied up in this race with, what, less than 10, 12 laps to go. Piastri was number two. And I knew this race was going to go badly for McLaren when Zach got on the interview and said, it's time to let them race. No, it's not. You think that Toto would ever say that, or Christian? No. You got your number one guy in first place. Your number two guy's job is to stay in second place so that no one passes him. And if you have to slow down, you slow down. You don't send these two guys off to race each other and possibly take both of your cars out. They just need to be smarter, and they're not yet smart enough. They should have finished 1 and 2.
Well, that's an interesting take, Rooster, because that dynamic between Lando and Oscar Piastri this year, if you're Zach Brown, you want Lando to separate himself pretty darn quickly so that you do have a true 1 and a 2, because Oscar Piastri does not think of himself as Lando's 2.
All right, so you tell Oscar Piastri, then you better qualify in pole position. But when you don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. We have a constructors' championship to pursue. Hey, before we go on, I just want to say that this show has also been brought to you, friends, by our buddies at Injury Board. If you are a plaintiff's attorney looking to do the best kind of marketing you know how to do, which is networking with other attorneys face-to-face, while also learning about cutting-edge technology and trial techniques, check out injuryboard.org and join up. It's the greatest group of people you'll ever meet. Sorry, go ahead, guys.
Truth. All right, I'm going to wrap it up with we got to pour one out for a legendary sports writer, the great John Feinstein, who was a Washington guy, but not just a Washington guy either. And, you know, it's interesting. You got to look back at really his first book, which launched an entire genre, which was the book he wrote in 1986, A Season on the Brink. He had full access to the Indiana Hoosiers basketball season with Bobby Knight. And it really was the first of its kind where a guy got complete access to a team for a full season. He left his job at the Post to go and just follow the team for that entire season. And, you know, now you have these things all the time. Now you're starting to see, you know, you see in the documentaries on Netflix and wherever. But Feinstein really was the first guy to write a book on that. And that was just the start of everything that was great about him. He was a relationship guy. He got access to people and to teams because of how he treated people and teams. And if you go to the Washington Post website, there's a section where they've just got some of his best writing. And, you know, for me, personally, being a DC guy, there's a lot of really, notable DC moments, including when he wrote about John Thompson passing, which was particularly memorable for me. But Feinstein was really one of the great ones. You guys have anything you want to say about him? I mean, everybody appreciated this guy.
Great journalist, great. Eventually became a great kind of feature story journalist on ESPN. And his diversity of what he covered, from basketball to golf to baseball, he was just a quintessential great, great sports journalist with in-depth coverage, in-depth access, and he will definitely be missed. He was a great one.
His last column was published the day he died. He did a column on Tom Izzo going back to the NCAA tournament and still coaching. He finished it the day before, and that actually ran in the paper the day he died, March 13th.
Wow.
I think he was at his brother's house, right, when he died?
I haven't heard that.
All right. So I just wanted to give a quick pour out to Junior Bridgman, who I remember well as a star of the Milwaukee Bucks from 75 to 1987. During that period of time, even though he was a star in the league, his highest salary was $350,000. When he died on March 11th this year, he was a billionaire. He invested his money early on into fast food restaurants, turned those investments into becoming an owner of a Coca-Cola bottler, and then wound up buying Ebony and Jet magazines.
Wow.
And made billions. So,
wow.
Just a self-made guy, a real impressive person, and the world is, he was also an ambassador for the league, and the league's going to miss him dearly.
Good one. Good one.
All right, guys, anything else this week? Lots of hoops to watch, lots going on. Check it all out, and you guys have a good week. We'll be talking a little music, too, I'm sure. Check out our Facebook page if you want to weigh in on some of the music controversy.
I'm on Milk on Coldplay. Come on.
Have a good week, boys.
See ya.